Since 1999, opioid-related overdoses have quadrupled in the United States, and the latest data from the CDC doesn't indicate that a reprieve is coming anytime soon. Stepping back for a minute, have you ever wondered, how did we get here? The story begins in the 1990s, and in many ways, it was the perfect storm of events. A segment of the population was in pain. There was a concerted effort to address it by the medical community, and a new drug that promised to help.
I got my life back now. Now I can enjoy every day that I live. I can really enjoy myself. And before, even a good day was hell.
Since I've been on this new pain medication, I have not missed one day of work.
Those are clips from a promotional video Purdue Pharma distributed to physicians around the country about OxyContin, a new controlled-release opioid pain medication the company aggressively marketed to providers for treating pain for non-cancer patients. The medication was designed to reduce pain fluctuations for patients, but much of the company's marketing materials misrepresented the risk for addiction and abuse as less than 1%.
We doctors were wrong in thinking that opioids can't be used long term. They can be and they should be.
For physicians, OxyContin seemed to be part of the solution to a problem the medical community had been facing. The Joint Commission, an agency responsible for certifying American healthcare organizations, had recently called on physicians to adequately treat patient pain. In some groups, adopted pain as the fifth vital sign in patient assessments. After OxyContin was introduced, opioid prescriptions skyrocketed.
Prior to that, we only saw these types of medications, opioids and morphine, prescribed or used in the setting for like end-of-life pain treatment, cancer treatment. I mean, only the most intense, usually under a hospital or hospice setting. And then in the mid-1990s is when it became FDA approved, and it was under the impression that they were non-addictive and there were no dangers with them. So that's when we saw tons more being prescribed and therefore tons more people becoming addicted and a lot more overdose deaths.
That's Angela Stander, the Prescription Drug Overdose Prevention Coordinator for the Utah Department of Health. She says that both patients and prescribers need more education on the risks of prescription opioids. And physicians like David Anisman, the primary care medical director at the Farmington Health Center, agree. He recalls sitting in training sessions required for accreditation decades ago that were co-organized by Purdue Pharma. He says that this allowed the company to control the messaging about opioid risks and help promulgate three myths to primary care physicians like himself.
Number one, that opioids were effective for chronic pain. There's no data to support that. There still isn't. Secondly, that no dose is too high. So that as long as there's pain, you should go up on the dosage. And third, as long as you're using opiates to treat pain, you're not going to become addicted. Addicts are the people in the alleys with a needle in their arm. People who take pills you prescribe are not going to get addicted. Those were three of the central myths that I remember sitting through the training materials that we were required to take because it was part of belonging to an accredited organization. And that led to a lot of inappropriate prescribing, a lot of blindness to the nature of what we were prescribing. And it's only been as the opiate crisis has gotten worse and we've come to realize that, for example, in the state of Utah, the majority of overdose deaths are not from heroin, and they're not from synthetic opiates like fentanyl and fancy things like that. They are from oxycodone, which is Percocet, and hydrocodone, which is Lortab. Those are things we prescribe. Primary care doctors, dentists, orthopedic surgeons, we're the ones doing that prescribing. It's a real change, not only for physicians, but for our patients, because they learned from us, oh, you're in pain? Well, here's a pain med. Every pain has to be treated. Every bit of pain has to go away. That's not realistic.
Right now, where we're at, is it kind of like turning a really big ship around?
Oh, very much so. These habits, both in the patient population as well as in the prescriber population, are not new. They're very well entrenched, and it takes a lot of discussion, a lot of time, a lot of education to change those perspectives.
But things are changing. In 2016, the CDC released new guidelines for clinicians detailing how opioids can be used more safely and effectively. And things are changing locally, too. The Utah legislature recently allocated more than $500,000 to upgrade the state's controlled substance database. This allows physicians to query a patient's record before writing a new prescription and identify if suspicious behavior, like doctor shopping, may be occurring.
It compiles all the prescriptions written in the state of Utah for any controlled substance, not just opiates. So you can query that and see what's been prescribed. The database also allows you to pull in data from selected surrounding states, those that participate. So it does give you a great tool for seeing what's being prescribed. It doesn't, of course, tell you what they're getting from their friends and family, and that happens a lot in spite of a lot of counseling. It doesn't tell you what they're buying off the street, if that's what's going on. So you have to have other mechanisms, and that includes things like pill counts, urine drug screens. Those are also part of our workflow to make sure that we're prescribing appropriately. We explain to our patients that this is just a standard of practice.
Changes are happening within many of the state's largest healthcare providers as well. Intermountain Healthcare has trained more than 2,500 of its medical providers on the hazards of opioid misuse. In August, the organization announced a bold plan to reduce opioid prescriptions for acute pain cases by 40% across its hospitals and clinics. The goal is to prevent providers from overprescribing opioids to patients who may not need them. Dr. Anisman is a member of the Utah Coalition for Opioid Overdose Prevention and helped establish policies to better guide primary care providers on safer prescribing practices for opioids. He's also involved in an ongoing effort at the University of Utah to use data to reduce patients' risk of an opioid overdose. By tracking prescribing patterns across the university, the hope is that it will assist clinicians to identify their patients most at risk, those taking the highest dosages of opioids, or who are taking combinations of medications that can be deadly. But data alone won't solve Utah's opioid problem.
The other side of the coin there is what patients expect. Patient perspective and expectations really drive the boat. I think in our society, we have trained patients that when they come to the doctor, they should leave with a prescription for something. You have a cold, you get an antibiotic. You have pain, you get an opiate. Not always right either. So we need to, I think, do more to educate the general public about pain and the appropriate and safe way to manage it. A lot of it comes back to changing not only our perceptions about how there's a pill for every ill, but also that when we talk about pain, we should be talking about function. If you're not using those two words together, then something isn't right.
Despite multiple attempts, Purdue Pharma could not be reached for comment for this story. With Utah Public Radio, I'm Kristen Munson.
This UPR original series is brought to you in part by the Association for Utah Community Health, providing training and technical assistance to health centers and affiliates across Utah. More information available online at auch.org.